on the Davidson Sports Network. The Bob McKillop Show is on the air, powered by Ortho Carolina. The Bob McKillop Show is brought to you by Bearings, Innovative Strategies and Solutions, Pepsi, born in the Carolinas, Atrium Health, make every day the best day yet, and by Ortho Carolina, you improved. Now, here's the voice of Davidson basketball, Jared Letch, joining head coach Bob McKillop.
Welcome inside the Vance Athletic Center on the campus of Davidson College. This is the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina. Alongside head coach Bob McKillop, I'm Jared Letch, as we get set to look at a number of topics as our weekly shows in conference play continue. And coach, off the bat, we want to take a look at last Wednesday's game on the road in Rhode Island. The Wildcats got off to a solid start in that game. Turnovers were an issue in the first half, yielding 13 points for the Rams. What else did you extract from that game?
You know, we allowed Russell to get off on us with some pick sixes in the first half. That was 6 points that we had no defense for. And you take those 6 points off the board, and we're in pretty good shape in terms of playing on the road against a very, very good team. And then we allowed Russell to get going offensively in the second half. He made a couple of threes and a couple of drives to the basket, and we just allowed him to impact the game a little bit too much.
Remember coming out of that game, Coach, you said a message to the team after surrounded, what could you have done differently if you could pick two things? It seemed to resonate pretty well with your players.
Yeah, you know, we mentioned in the post-game locker room at home, so we took a flight home after the game, got back about 12:45 to Davidson, and we always gather after a game in the locker room on the road and have a 5 or 10 minute conversation when there's been some time, so your thoughts are settled, your thoughts are more focused, you're not in the emotion of the immediacy of the game. And I mentioned to them that we were in this situation 2 years ago. We had come back from Hawaii at Christmas and had struggled in the first 6-8 games of the season. And we were going to play our first home game in conference play against St. Louis. And we were tentative. We were hesitant. Our confidence was very fragile. And our record was 5-7 at the time. And we wound up eking out a victory, 53-51. And I said that was a defining moment for that team that year because we needed to have that win. And we played with a very fragile mentality, yet we still fought and we still competed and got that win. And lo and behold, we come back to the locker room after Rhode Island and we're 6-8, our first conference game. And that same kind of fragility, that same kind of lack of confidence was evident as we got off the flight, as we bussed back, as we sat in the locker room. And I challenged the guys to let's make this a defining moment to St. Joe's game. And, you know, they did make it a defining moment. And I don't know whether that was their intention as we went through that second half, but give St. Joe's tremendous credit. Billy Lang did a great job of getting his guys to fight through that 15-point deficit and come back and put themselves in a position to win the game.
Perfect transition to that game, 89-83 overtime win. Your 350th conference win as a head coach. So, first of all, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
But looking at that game, as that lead was evaporating, what was the sentiment amongst the team as you were coming down the stretch?
It's an interesting dynamic, again, because of the emotion that our guys were feeling, the lack of confidence that they had. And you could see as the lead dissipated, our guys were starting to become very hesitant and tentative. We had a couple of very unfortunate turnovers. We missed some shots. I think there was maybe a stretch where we missed maybe 10 or 11 straight shots. And for us to dodge the bullet of losing a 15-point lead, then having terrific free throw shooters miss very opportunistic free throws, and then have a Hail Mary at the buzzer and the time of the review, so our guys had a lot of time to think about it. The emotion was just cascading through them about, oh my goodness, you know, we're not that good. Oh, we can't win. And so this became that defining moment for us where we dodged 3 bullets, had some time to think about dodging those bullets, and wound up coming out. I think we got the first 5 points of the overtime. We outscored them by 6, I think. And that was a great statement for our guys. Now it's a matter of building upon it.
Now that shot by Ryan Daly, remarkable at the end of that game. From your vantage point, I was convinced it was a two-point basket from where I was looking initially. What were your thoughts when that thing went up there and dropped through?
Yeah, I thought it was a two-point basket also. I shook Billy Lang's hand, and Billy shook my hand. He had thought it was the same thing, and I shook a couple of players' hands, and Ryan Daly was convinced that it was a three-pointer. And as you watch the tape, it was like a wide receiver in the NFL catching a ball and dragging his foot before he crosses the line, and he had the wherewithal to do that, a tremendous focus play. I think it was a focus play, but he actually just dipped his toe before it hit the line and released the ball. And I think he was even shocked that the pass came his way because there were two guys on the passer, and all of a sudden it was almost behind him, and somehow he got it in front, dragged his foot. I mean, he's probably going to be a tight end in the NFL someday.
Well, it was either a focus play or just a reaction that worked out for St. Joe's to get it to overtime. But again, the Cats prevailing in the bonus time. There's been a lot of talk this weekend in the media, Coach, about the scenario being up three, say 10 seconds to go. Do you or do you not foul? Is that situational, opponent? What are you evaluating to decide whether to foul?
Well, I think it's situational and who the opponent is, where we are, home, away. But I think a key point in that situation is to communicate it on the fly. And there's no way you can communicate it on the fly. And in losing that sense of proper communications, you could make a very careless decision to foul a three-point shot as the guy's coming up the court. So I don't know that I've ever seen a situation like that, a sequence like that, where we had the ball under control and the guy, we had maybe one chance to foul when we had two guys on him. But I just don't know that you could communicate it that quickly, no matter how much you rehearse it. And you know, we had two foul shots, and we could have called a timeout, but we didn't because we didn't have the foul shots. So we didn't have them made, so therefore the clock didn't stop.
Something else to touch on from the win against St. Joe's, John Axel Goodmanson, who has struggled offensively. He's done a lot of other things well. It was really nice to see his output at 30 points, 10 rebounds. He also had four steals, and as we talk post-game, very aggressive.
Yes, he was certainly aggressive in that game, and John has done a marvelous job this year of being a leader of our team. He's amidst the adversity and the challenges we faced, John has been the catalyst for that leadership, and he's put a lot of his emotion into that, and as he sacrificed that, it has impacted on his aggression as a basketball player, and I think he has seen that, how he can still be aggressive and still be a leader at the same time.
Well, that's going to take us into our first break. When we come back, we'll discuss some of the future talent joining the Davidson basketball program, as well as some other topics. This is the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina from Learfield, IMG College. Welcome back to the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina. Jared Latch, Bob McKillop, back with you. And we want to look at some of the incoming talent for this Davidson basketball program. Three commits that are ready to roll for next year, and Coach will just run down one by one and get your take on each of these. And we'll start with guard Emery Lanier out of Atlanta, Georgia, 6'3", 180-pound guard. What can you tell us about him?
We've known Emery since his he was a young boy living in Austin, Texas with his family. His dad was an assistant coach, Rob Lanier, for Rick Barnes at Texas at that time, and Rob has then moved to Tennessee with Rick when Rick moved to Tennessee, and we got to see Lanier, Emery again numerous times at those scrimmages, and then we watched him and started recruiting him. Came to one of our camps, visited several times unofficially, and fortunate that we did get a commitment from him back in November. He's a coach's son, very smart, very bright, very hardworking. He checks so many boxes for the Davidson Scholar Athlete. He's going to be a very good addition to our program, can play off the ball, can play on the ball. He's about a 6 foot, 2 inch guard, but he has kind of this Carter Collins haircut. So he's about 6 foot five right now with the hair, but left-handed and very versatile, and we're excited about having him. A second guard, we think we got a steal with this one, is Grant Huffman from St. Ed's Catholic High School up in Cleveland, Ohio. Grant is about 6'4". You know, picture appearance-wise, Tyler Kalinowski. Picture IQ-wise, toughness-wise, Tyler Kalinowski. He doesn't shoot the ball like Tyler, but he's much more of a point guard-oriented guard than Tyler was. Tyler was much more a 2-1. Grant is a 1-2. You watch him shoot foul shots, and he's got exquisite form. And I'm convinced that he's going to make himself into a very good shooter. But again, like Tyler, tough as nails, and I think he's going to challenge, as Emery will, for playing time as freshman. And then, of course, the third guy is Sam Menenga, who just joined us. Today is his first day of class. Sam is from Auckland, New Zealand. He's about 6'9", 230 pounds, and he's got what we call man's strength. You know, he doesn't have the strength of an 18, 19, 20-year-old. He's got the strength of a 26, 27-year-old man. Left-handed, can play four or five positions. He's very, very versatile. We think he's going to have a significant impact upon our program, and he began practice with us last Thursday or Friday. So we're very, very excited with Sam's addition as well.
You look in the case of Grant Huffman, your Ohio pipeline, which has been populated over the last couple of years, continues.
Yes, it certainly has, and Cleveland has been good to us. Columbus has been good to us. Cincinnati has been good to us, so we've gotten terrific players out of the Ohio pipeline. And Grant, in fact, his parents, his dad's a dentist, and his mom is in sales. I think they purchased a house on Lake Norman already. So that's a nice commitment.
not a bad place to be. So looking at Sam once again, you mentioned starting practice last week. How valuable is that for him to come in here and get a head start with the program?
Well, he's picking things up on a daily basis. He's getting extra practices in as a result also, because he's on the scout team in practice, but he's taking that extra time, and he has that hunger to be a great player. So he's getting the language, the vernacular learned very quickly, the techniques, the style of play learned very quickly, and we think this is going to be just a bonus for him as he prepares to play for Davidson College.
Switching gears a bit, I want to look at student managers, because within your program, they've gone on to play roles on not only your active roster, but then with their future endeavors. You think of Will Toney most recently, Ryan Ansell, Ford Higgins, Billy Tom, Pat Casey, Drew Dibble. The list goes on and on.
Yeah, it's such a joy, because they commit so much without any guarantee, without any scholarship money, without anything other than their commitment to Davidson College and Davidson basketball. And it goes back to guys like Ryan Ansell, who came here, wanted to be a player, and we decided he wasn't good enough to be on a team, and came and became a manager. And as a manager, he got into drills just to help us out. And then after 2 or 3 years of drills, he became so familiar with the drills, we put him on the scout team. And since that point, he went to Ireland as part of the Scholars Program and played, quote-unquote, professional basketball in Ireland, got himself a master's degree, and now is an assistant coach in college at Swarthmore with Landry Kosmalski, the number one team in the Division III ranks. Will Toney, the same way. He always wanted to be a coach and thought that the best journey to do that would become a manager here at Davidson. His dad was a college coach. So Will comes here and serves as a manager, and in his fourth year became a player on our team because of his competitive toughness. And he's parlayed that into becoming an assistant coach here, and now is an assistant coach at Dartmouth. And we see the same thing with Pat Casey. Pat Casey came here as a manager and got a uniform last year. And now, by the way, Pat Casey got engaged over Christmas, and he'll be getting married to a Davidson girl sometime after graduation.
Great, great stories across the board with all four managers and opportunities. I want to take a couple questions now. I know you're excited about that. We've got people in the audience today, which is fantastic.
We've got such great, loyal, long-time Davidson fans. It's incredible to me to see these people that come and cheer for us. And this is back in 1989, 1990, when we had 1,200 people in the gym, and we had a record of 4-24, and they didn't quit on us then, and they stayed with us, and I think they have been a big part of what we have accomplished.
So here's the first question, Coach, from Judy and Ted Stauffer. How are the two freshmen, which Christensen and Lee, adjusting to college life, academics, and culture?
You know, they have to adjust in three different arenas. They have to adjust in the academic arena, and they did marvelously. In fact, this is the highest GPA our program has had in all of my 31 years. So that's a credit to all of those guys. It's a credit to our assistant coaches who helped them. It's a credit to our professors who do such a marvelous job in educating our student scholar athletes. So academically, they've adjusted quite well. Socially, there is this sense sometimes of homesickness, and we're very aware of that. And one of the stopgap measures we have against homesickness is host families. And both David and Lee have host families who serve as sort of a family away from home. David's parents are visiting, I think, in 2 weeks. Lee's parents and sister are here right now. So there's that ease of the social environment as well. And, of course, I think it's more difficult for Lee because his language was character-based prior to coming to the States. And he's been just tremendous in terms of the way he's responded to that. And you speak with his professors, and they speak in glowing terms about him. And then, of course, basketball. The game has been a little different for both of them than what they were accustomed to, either in Korea, Australia, or in Denmark. David has never been held accountable for details before. This is the first time the details. He got away with a lot of things that did not require details because he was 6'10", could jump, could run, and was skilled. Lee, it was just going to transition from Korea to Australia and not really having a consistent high school experience that the details slipped through the cracks. And, of course, with his size also and his shooting ability, the details were not that important to them. They're starting to learn details, number one, and number two, the speed of the game. So I think those are the two biggest adjustments that they have to make, details, speed of the game. Lee's been making that adjustment much quicker than David. And it's a little bit of information. When NBA scouts have come to our practices and games, they'll meet with me afterward and they'll speak about the two guys they come to see, generally Kellen and John, but they speak in glowing terms about David's potential. So there's something out there that we saw that now the NBA people are seeing that David's got some capacity to really grow and to be a terrific player for us.
The second question before we take the break, we'll get to this. This is from Chris. What's your attitude or take toward trying to block three-point shots? It says here, it seems like it produces three free throws more than it does blocks.
You know, we have a concept called the jackrabbit. If you've ever seen a jackrabbit, it jumps and it jumps back. And that's the way we try to defend the three-point shot. So if Chris is shooting a three-point shot, we're going to run at his shooting shoulder but past his body so it makes him hesitate, and then we jump back into the play. Luka did it twice against number 21 on Saturday incredibly well. The technique, he demonstrated it perfectly. So that's our take on three-point shots and trying to block them.
Thank you, Coach. So it's time for another quick break. When we come back, we'll look ahead at the upcoming week as we preview another nationally televised test here inside Belk Arena as the Bob McKillop Show rolls on, powered by Ortho Carolina from Learfield, IMG College. Welcome back to Davidson College. Jared Latch alongside head coach Bob McKillop. Time to take a look ahead at the next opponent, Coach, and that comes up tomorrow night against the Richmond Spiders. Their record right now sits at 12-4 overall, 2-1 in conference play. They have a talented and veteran team and some solid non-conference wins that they picked up against Vanderbilt, Wisconsin, and Boston College.
Well, they're off to their best start in quite some time, and they're very, very well coached, Chris Mooney. And yes, they have had some outstanding non-conference victories. They've beaten Vanderbilt, they've beaten Wisconsin, they've beaten Boston College, and they've had a 2-1 start in an 8-10. They're a veteran team, as you said. They have four guys on their roster who are over 1,000 points. Two of those guys are both had missed a year with an injury. Grant Golden and Sherrod both had missed a year with injuries, so they're fourth year juniors. And then Gilliard, and then they had a kid sitting out last year, Blake Francis from Wagner, who's from Virginia, Herndon, Virginia. So those are the four scorers that are getting over 1,000 points. Nathan Kao is sort of the guy that doesn't hasn't reached that plateau yet, but he's going to reach it, I'm sure, very soon. And he was a starter for them for the past 2 years as well. They shoot free throws very well. They steal the ball very well. Their assist turnover ratio is top five in the country. They present a lot of challenges for us.
So, Coach, 4-0 so far inside Belk Arena. And one note on Francis, left the game injured on Saturday, so status unknown. But for this game tomorrow night, if you could give us one quick key to Wildcat success, what would that be?
Score more points than them.
See, that works. That works every time. That's guaranteed. Do you have anything else loaded up?
Yeah. We cannot focus in on one guy. We've got to focus in on their team, because with guys that can score like they can, everyone is dangerous. They run sort of a hybrid Princeton offense. Chris played for Pete Carrill at Princeton, so they're going to beat you with back cuts. They're going to beat you with post-ups. They're going to beat you with handoffs. They're going to beat you with drives to the basket. They're going to beat you with three-point shots. And they're going to beat you with pick-six steals or with transition baskets. So there's not one area you could say, well, we got to stop this and we'll win the game. From a defensive standpoint, they present different looks. They've traditionally been a matchup team. They've played mostly man-to-man this year, but my sense is they'll be a combination of both matchup and man-to-man against us.
Well, Coach, as we wrap up, your time here today on the show was great to have some of your dedicated fans here in the audience.
Yes, very, very lucky to have and they're all young, too, which is really encouraging. So that means they're going to be back here for many years.
Anything else from you before we set to close?
Glad to hear that our good friend Mark Thompson had successful surgery, one of our class of 87, I think he is. And Mark had heart surgery and is bouncing back very quickly from that. So that's a delight to hear.
Well, Coach, thank you for your time as always.
Thanks, Jared.
We're going to take our final break. When we come back, we'll close things up. This is the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina. Welcome back to the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina. We want to remind you to join us for our next game broadcast that comes up tomorrow night, Tuesday, January 14th, 6:45 Eastern Time on the Davidson Radio Network as the Wildcats host Richmond. And then the Wildcats, following that game, will continue on the road. But this is in the midst of 4 of 5 at home. They will go to Fordham to play on Sunday. Our next coach's show will come up next Monday, January 20th, as we continue throughout A-10 play. And we welcome fans to join us here at Davidson College like we did today. A number of Davidson players looking to build on good performances this past weekend and the overtime win, 89-86, over St. Joe's. That'll include John Axel Goodmanson, who had a big afternoon with 30 points and 10 rebounds. It was great to see John have a big performance. Luka Brankovic had 17. That'll close things up for us. This has been the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina from Learfield, IMG College.
This has been the Bob McKillop Show, powered by Ortho Carolina. The Bob McKillop Show has been brought to you by Bearings, Innovative Strategies and Solutions, Pepsi, born in the Carolinas, Atrium Health, make every day the best day yet, and by Ortho Carolina, you improved. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Davidson Sports Network.